I wanted to talk to you about Jesus. Surprise, surprise. I want to talk to you about why did Jesus come as a human? I've been thinking about Christmas as it's quickly approaching. And, you know, Jesus came, he was fully God and fully man, which is complicated to try and explain and understand, and especially hard to do in one sermon. So it won't be done completely. But there is a reason that Jesus came as a human. Did you know that? He came and walked in this earth fully God and fully man. And there's several different reasons, but Jesus came to deliver a message of hope, a message of salvation, a message of life and freedom. He came that we could be free of our debt of sin. You see, sin was brought into the world by a man, by Adam, and sin to be broken, for that curse to be broken, for us to be able to be free of it, it needed to be paid for by a man that was pure and holy, and you and I couldn't pay that debt. And so Jesus did for us. You following me? Okay? And so Jesus also came to reveal the Father. One way I think of explaining this is that in EMS, we watch a lot of videos for education. We read books. And then there are certain things that you can get from that, but then you also need the hands-on. And so then we practice techniques. We work on each other. And I think that Jesus came as a living message to show us who God was, to show us his heart. And, I mean, they had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet, but I believe that seeing the person of Jesus helps us to understand who God is. It helps us to understand his way of relating to us and his heart towards us. Does that make sense? And so Jesus came to give us a message of love. And I think we've probably all heard this verse, but this is his mission. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. It's not fake news. It's not a message or something that gets shut down just because of a pandemic. It's living hope for you and I today. And that message never changes. It never has changed and it never will change. It is true back then and it's true today. And it'll be true tomorrow. Amen. So in John chapter 1, we don't have the Passion translation on that program, but I'm going to read it to you in the Passion just because I like it. It says, "Now out of his fullness we are fulfilled, and from him we receive grace heaped upon more grace. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. And now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. He has revealed God to us. That's why Jesus came. He came to reveal God to you and I." One of my kids must have got a hold of the computer yesterday because I have a little note on the side that says, "Good luck, Dad." I just about read that like it was the scripture. Matthew chapter 2 verse 10 says, "And when they saw the star, they were ecstatic and they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they were overcome." There is a consistent theme when you see in the Bible when people encounter Jesus, they are impacted, they are changed. He leaves a mark on your life. Amen? I think probably all of us have a story. There's a reason you're here, right? There's a reason that you follow him. It's because in some way he has marked you. In some way he has impacted you. You've encountered his love, his grace, his goodness, and it's changed your life. And all through the Bible, all through the Word, we see that when people run into Jesus, when they experience him and encounter him, they're forever changed. Luke 1:37 says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Jesus came to deliver a message of hope and life, and he came to show a better way of living, a life filled with love and hope and joy. The word, Jesus' name comes out of the word Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, restoration, and deliverance. Jesus came to save, he came to restore, and he came to deliver. What does the devil come to do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? Jesus came to save, restore, and deliver. In fact, it says in the Bible that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came that we would be free, free from the enemy. Jesus came to save you from your past and to give you a future. He came to save you from the sin and the mess that you've been in the past, the struggles, the things we've done wrong, the emotional mess we might be in, and to make us whole. He came to make us whole. Amen? That word sozo, like, it talks about being whole in every way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, like made whole. Jesus didn't come just to give us fire insurance, that we wouldn't just go to hell, that we have a ticket to heaven, but he came to give us life and life abundantly, it says in John 10:10. Jesus came to announce the kingdom. He came to bring the good news of salvation and like I said, to reveal the Father. He came to seek and save the lost, not to judge. Just like we read at the end of John 3, verse 17 there, he didn't come to condemn and to judge, but he came to save. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that many times Christians are guilty of doing the judging and the condemning when we're called to carry a heart of love and grace. And we are called to model what Jesus did. And so it's not our job to judge, it's not our job to condemn, and it's not our job to say you didn't do that right and you're not good enough and you should have lived like this. No, we're called to love. Amen? Are you sure? Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this promise. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. The high priest of ours understands our weakness. So who's the high priest? Jesus, okay? The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So we have an invitation to come before God all the time because of what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross. He came, gave his life to cover our sin, to welcome us into a new covenant with him so that we have access to the throne of God. So that our sin is covered so we can actually come and stand in God's presence. We okay? Like that, that's amazing. And what also is amazing is that we don't have to fear being judged in coming before God. It says that we come to receive mercy and to find grace. That means that he is saying, come to me and I'll give you all you need. Not we come in, am I going to get beat up today? Am I going to get punished? No, he's saying, I'm inviting you to come close. I'm inviting you. His grace and his mercy covers yesterday and it covers tomorrow. So we have an invitation to actually get to know Jesus intimately, to know his presence, to walk with him, to be close to him all the time because of his grace and his mercy. Because he is saying Jesus is our high priest who has gone through and faced every temptation that we have. He's gone through everything that we have, and he's gone now to sit on a throne and to intercede and to be there for us and on our behalf. And he knows exactly what we're feeling and exactly what we're facing day in and day out. And he says, there's mercy and grace for you. There's mercy and grace where you need it the most so that you can come to him. Are we okay with that? You can literally come without reservation. In his presence, we find healing. In his presence, we find rest. In his presence, we find hope. In his presence, we find joy. In his presence, we find life and life abundantly. But it's extended as an invitation saying, will you come? But you have to come. I have to come. I have to purpose in my heart that today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. I'll be glad in it. And Lord, I'm going to come before you. And I'm going to ask, Lord, just like you tell us to pray, I'm going to seek your daily bread for me today. But it's a choice that I get to make because he says, I want you to do it in love. He could have programmed us that every day we woke up and prayed. And every day we read our Bible. Like it's like we got up just like we had the desire to eat physical food every day, we needed it, that we would need this. And we are programmed that way in the sense that if we don't do it, we miss out on him. But he lets us, it's like it's a choice. Do you want this relationship? Because it's out of love. And love means, for anything to be love means you have to have a choice. You can't be forced. So to love God is a choice. To come into his presence is a choice. To get to know him is a choice. John 1:14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." So Jesus became human. He became a man and dwelt among us. And so Jesus, just like it said in Hebrews 4, that he faced every temptation that we face, he understands. He understands what it's like. And I believe part of why he came as a human is to be able to relate to us and for also us to be able to relate to what it's like to walk with God. And so Jesus, it's interesting to me that the God of the universe sends his son. I mean, Jesus was involved in creating everything and holding everything together. And yet he comes as a baby. Completely helpless. He needed his butt wiped like you and I did. He needed to be fed, you know? And in that sense, became very vulnerable. And he chose to come that way very humbly. Partly, I think, just to show us that he understood what it's like to grow, to live, to go through everything that we do. The Bible says he has brothers and sisters. He understands what it's like to get in a wrestling match, to whack one another over the head with a hockey stick, to duct tape somebody to the bed. He's gone through some of that. He understands what it's, and maybe Jesus was perfect in the sense that he just brought peace and there was never any arguments. I don't know. But I think the fact that he came as a real human, I'm pretty sure there was some spats here and there. There's probably some pranks. I don't know. When they went to the lake, did Jesus walk out on water and be like, "Hi, look what I can do"? I don't know. I don't know if he was a prankster. I don't know. You know, I know one thing, you'd never be able to pull one over on him because he'd know what you were thinking. Jesus understood relationships, though. He grew up with people. He grew up with family. He grew up, you know, he grew up as, I think when you were usually around 12, 13 years old, you began to be mentored under usually your father, what trade they're in. The Bible says he was a carpenter. So he would have learned the trade of carpentry, which means he understood what it means to get a job and to work. He understood what that's like, you know. He understood what it's like to use your hands to earn a living, and Jesus understood, you know. He understood what it's like to be single. He understood loneliness. He understood, that longing to be with others. He also understood marriage. The Bible talks about in Revelation 21. The angel says to John, "I will show you the Lamb's wife." You know, Jesus, we are the bride of Christ, right? So he understands a spouse. He understands a spouse that's unfaithful. He understands a spouse that rejects him, that betrays him. He understands friends that betray him. Jesus is God, and we are his children. And so in that sense, he understands children that are rebellious, that are whiny, that complain. He knows what it's like to have a good friend turn their back and walk away. Jesus was mocked. He was ridiculed on the cross. He was mocked for his calling and his identity. Remember the things like, if you really are the Son of God, come down off that cross, you know? If you're really powerful, do something. Jesus knew physical pain. He was tortured. I mean, he was hung on a cross. He had spikes driven through his hands and literally tortured to death. He knew physical pain. Historians, from what I understand, they believe that his dad, Joseph, likely died in his third year of ministry. Which is interesting because, I mean, he could have raised him. There's lots of things when you think about that. Jesus also went through what it meant to grieve, to have loss. In Mark 3, you see his family trying to get him out of where he's teaching because they think he's crazy. Have you ever been misunderstood? Someone thinks you're crazy? The point is this. Jesus knows how you feel. He knows what you've been through. And he's saying, you can talk to me, you can come to me with your physical pain, you can come to me with your emotional pain, with the loneliness, with the struggle, with the feelings of abandonment and rejection and betrayal by people that you love and that have cared for you. You can come to me with your hurt, you can come to me with your shame, you can come to me with all this stuff. You can come to me with your struggle with relationships. I know what you're going through. And I can show you the way to the Father's heart. Are we okay? And I think in all of that, Jesus is saying, I want you to know that you're not alone and you're not abandoned in this, that I'm with you. I'm with you. And I will be your strength, and I will bring hope, and I will be life to you if you'll bring me alongside. Jesus is the answer that you're looking for today. And every day. I don't think we have time to go into it today, but John the Baptist, you know, he came to prepare the way of the Lord. He came to preach repentance, to call people to turn their hearts towards God. That sounds very similar to what we're called to do. We're called to go and make disciples, to lead people to Jesus, to be a light, to be a witness, to bring people to an encounter with Jesus. But I do want to cover a story that just has been on my heart this week. It's Luke 19, and it's the story of Zacchaeus. And, you know, we don't have all the details. We don't know everything that happened in this story. It's a very short little story, but I love the picture that it gives of salvation and what happens. And so, if you remember Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, which meant a couple things. If you were a tax collector, you were automatically basically a social and religious outcast, okay? Because Rome had occupied Israel and basically had inflicted their way of living on Israel. And as a tax collector, you were taking money from the Jews and filtering it to this occupying government. And so people basically saw you as a traitor and they didn't like you. And tax collectors also, you know, had a habit of filling their pockets. You know, if you owed $100 in taxes, they would tell you you owed $150. And that's how they... It was like when I went to Congo. I was in Africa. I remember I went with missionary Murray Cornelius, and we were going to Africa. And I remember when we left towards Congo, he had this big, big stack of cash. And I remember saying to him, like, what's that about? And he says, he just kind of smirked and said, you'll see. And we got to the border at Congo, and I mean, there's a long list of ridiculous things, but the first one, I gave the guy my passport, and it was a brand new passport just before I'd gone to Africa, and he looked at it, and he goes, oh, you've never been to Congo before, brand new passport, $50 US, wrote that down. Then he's looking in my medical book with my shots, oh, you've never had a cholera shot, that'll be $35 US, and I said to him, like, you're not giving me a cholera shot, there's just no way. And he looked at me and he smiled, no big deal, $50 US, poof, stamped it, and it was in my book. And, he, you know, there was just like fee after fee. So it cost us about $1,000 to get the two of us across the border. And I said to Murray, the guy, the missionary I was with, I says, well, what happens if you refuse to pay? He says, well, you sit back there for 4, 5, 6 days till whenever they feel like letting you through. But if you want to get through today, we pay. And he says, I've tried it a few times, it's not worth waiting. Because they got paid next to nothing from the government, so they made their way with bribes. That's how they provided for their families. So then we go into the city, and we were there for several days, and then we went to leave. We had to get security clearance, which means you go to the police station and pay another fee. And so we get there, and the policeman, he walks up and he hands me a completely blank piece of paper. And he starts saying, I need you to fill out your address in Canada, your mother's maiden name, and like all this information. And I'm like, there's no way. And so I made stuff up. And I was just like, there's no way. And so Murray nudges me as the guy walks away. And he's like, watch their filing system. And sure enough, at the very back of the room, there's stacks of paper, like as high as you can see. And he just takes ours and on top. And away he goes. It was just a money grab, you know. But that's what... People didn't like the tax collectors because that's the kind of thing they did. That's the kind of people they were. They made a living off of cheating and ripping people off often. And so Zacchaeus, though, he's interested in Jesus. Jesus at this point is probably like a celebrity. There's a lot of stories of miracles, a lot of stories about him claiming to be the Son of God. And Jesus is coming to town. And he wants to be close. Now, this is before the day of selfies and stuff, but I imagine there was probably something to, like, I was close to Jesus. You should have seen. I could see the wrinkle in his, you know, whatever. There was probably something about, like, I got close. And so, you know, it says he couldn't see in the crowd. So I think he was short, and he climbed a tree, right? He climbed a tree to see Jesus. And if he had a phone, he would have been there like, look at this, trying to get the selfie. Well, Jesus comes and he sees Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to stay with you today. And of course, everybody in the crowd is ticked off because Jesus notices the guy that they all think is shouldn't be there, they don't like, and says, I want to come and be with you. And so what I love then is this picture. Now, we don't get to see every detail of what happened or what was said, but we do know that that encounter with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. And the Bible says, it says that Zacchaeus made haste and received Jesus joyfully. He came out of that tree and received Jesus joyfully. And then all of a sudden we see him saying, look, Lord, I'm giving half of what I own to the poor, and I'm repaying those I've wronged four times over. You see a complete change of heart. And what is that a sign of? It's a sign of repentance. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of a turn, a change. And that happened from receiving Jesus joyfully. And it happens to you and I. And so he went from having an interest in Jesus to being transformed by discovering Jesus' goodness and his kindness. His kindness, what does that scripture say? His kindness leads us to repentance. It's not the threat of being judged. It's not being big and powerful. It's his goodness and his kindness that leads us to repentance. And when we encounter Jesus, we encounter real, true goodness and kindness. And it changes our heart. It transforms us. It makes us want to give. It makes us want to be thankful. It makes us full of gratitude and generosity. It makes us want to make right the things we've done wrong. Amen? You guys okay? No? You're quiet. You know what else I love about this story? Is that it shows me that, you know, many times we all have seasons in our life where we just feel like we're not that valuable. We feel like, God, what is, like, you know, what's special about me? And yet, in the midst of a crowd, Jesus picked out Zacchaeus and said, I'm coming to be with you. In the midst of a crowd, you may feel like you're just one of a many, many people that, who cares? I'm just another person, whatever. Jesus is saying, I see you, and I want to be with you. And I want to come and be and stay with you today. And I believe that Jesus is saying that to you and I today. I see you. I see your struggles. I see how you're feeling. I see what you're going through. I see your fears. I see your anxiety, your worry, your shame. I see your past. And he's saying, I want to be with you. Can I come to your house today? Can I come and be with you today? Jesus' pure, unconditional love transforms every heart. There's something about, I just love that. He received him joyfully. And then Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. And then he ends with this, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. That's why Jesus came. Becoming a Christian isn't about just memorizing a book. It's not about obeying a bunch of rules. It is about relationship. Relationship with the King of Kings. Relationship with the perfect Lamb. In Acts chapter 4, there's a story of Peter and John. And again, another example of what happens, just the picture the Bible gives of what happens from being with Jesus. The story of Peter and John is that they prayed for a guy who gets healed, Peter and John get arrested and hassled because they're mad at them preaching about the gospel, preaching about Jesus. And then the story ends with this. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Jesus will transform your life. And he will mark you and he will change you, because when you spend time with him, you become to think like him and you begin to act like him. And you begin to believe and expect to see the things of Jesus in your life too. I think most of you know my story. You know, when I was in university, And I was in a place where I just felt empty. And I felt like this is all pointless. And I remember, I had seen God move in my life as a young kid. I'd seen miracles, so I could never deny that God was real. But I just was not convinced that he cared at all about me. And I remember just having this openness, this hunger, just like, God, if you're real, if you care about me, show me. And I remember seeing other people experiencing God. And so I began to go to church services and prayer meetings and stuff like that. And it was kind of like Zacchaeus. I had this curiosity and I was like, I want to see, you know, I want to see Lord. I want to see you move. And one day at a service, in the pre-service prayer, some people prayed for me, and I've shared this story hundreds of times, how God's love just hammered me. And I've used the illustration of like the ALS ice bucket challenge, where it's just like, I, in that moment, knew that God loved me exactly for who I was. And there was no denying it, and there was no doubting it. And there, I was changed instantly, just like that. There's something in my heart that just, poof. I had no idea either that my mom had been on a 40-day fast for me, that I didn't know a bunch of those things that God had led to, just at the right moment that my heart would change. But I had that encounter with him, and it's like Jesus said, I love you, and he touched my heart. And I believe that he wants to lead you and I into those encounters, but he also wants to use us to lead others to that encounter with Jesus, where people go, they spend time with Jesus. When someone looks at our life, they should see and know that, oh, they follow Jesus. I can tell by the way they live. I can tell by the way they talk, by the way they act, by the way they treat people, by the way they give, by the way that they care for others, by the way that they live in unity, by the way that they treat other people. God's love is unstoppable. It's unconditional. And it's unfailing. So I want to pray today, and then we're going to take communion. And I just want to pray for you. If there's anyone here, in fact, would you just close your eyes, bow your head? And this morning, if you just say, I do not have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to. I want to be able to pray with you. And I want to encourage you that this is just simply the first step in a journey towards God, in a journey getting to know him. But if that's you, you just say, my heart is not right, and I need relationship with Jesus. Would you slip up your hand? If you don't have peace today, the Bible says that his peace is like an inheritance for us as his children. That we're in all things pray, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will flood your heart and your mind. So if you don't have peace today, would you slip up your hand, because I want to pray for you. All right. If you're struggling with fear, with anxiety, with worry, and it doesn't matter if it's the pandemic or anything else, but the Bible says that his perfect love casts out fear. And it tells us that we can cast our cares on him. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if you have fear today, would you lift your hand? I just want to pray for you. If you have anxiety, if you have worry, if you're just feeling heavy. Okay. So we're going to pray for that stuff first. So Jesus, I thank you that you tell us that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that you always are with us. You are always for us. Jesus, that you are our source. You're our hope. You are our Savior. You came to show us the way to the Father. You came to bring life. And Lord, sometimes we pick up stuff that burdens us, that keeps us from living an abundant life, a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of happiness, a life of peace. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us today would be able to fix our eyes on you and not on the problems we face, not on the challenges that we have, not on the struggles or broken relationships or whatever it might be that we're walking through. God, I pray that we'd be able to fix our eyes on you. And I just encourage you, even as a just a prophetic act in a sense, if you would take whatever burden that might be on your shoulder right now, the stuff that you know is weighing you down, and just basically lift it off and put it at Jesus' feet right now. Just an act of here, God. And Lord, we lay these burdens at your feet. Lord, we lay down our fear. We lay down our anxiety. We lay down our stress. We lay down our bitterness and our anger and our worry. Lord, we lay down our shame. We lay down our hatred. We lay down our anger. Lord, we lay down our depression, our disappointment, our despair. Lord, we lay down our failures. And we give them all to you. And you, listen, it's easy for me to pray this, but you got to do it. In your heart, you've got to say, Lord, I give this to you. I don't want it. And Jesus, I ask that you would come, that your peace would truly come. Because you promise us that your peace is something that we can have all the time because we fix our eyes on you. We can be like you sleeping in the midst of a storm in a boat. Jesus, help us to have peace. I pray today for your love, a deeper revelation of your love. Because wherever we have fear, it means we're missing out on an aspect of your love. So Holy Spirit, I pray for revelation of your love in our hearts, that there would be no room for fear. I pray for a deeper revelation of your love so that we would not be bitter, so that we would not try to judge others, that we would not try to criticize, condemn, and tear down, but that we would strive to live in unity the way you call us to, the way that you prayed that we would. And Jesus, I ask that you would lift off every weight, that you would lift off every burden. Jesus, that you would bring freedom, that you would bring peace, that you would bring hope. I pray, Lord, for anybody who has physical sickness or disease in their bodies this morning. Jesus, you came, it says, by your stripes that we are healed. And Lord, you showed us by the way that you lived that we have access to healing because we belong to the kingdom of God. Because we are children of God. And Jesus, that you live in us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And so I just command every sickness and every disease to go and to be broken off of people's bodies and lives today in the name of Jesus. I curse pain from people's body in Jesus' name. We command you to go. And Jesus, I pray that we would encounter you and your goodness today in a fresh, fresh way. God, we love you. And I thank you, Jesus, for coming. I thank you, Jesus, for walking with us. I thank you, Jesus, for modeling what it means to live in intimacy with the Father, to live in faith, to live in trust, to have hope, to have peace, to have joy. Help us, Jesus, to be the people that you've called us to be your church in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to invite you to prepare your hearts. We're going to take communion together. It is in prepared packaging, and they're kind of separated, so you can come and grab one as we're... And I'll just invite... Renee, do you want to come? We'll do that song as people come, and...
I have a song that... I don't know.
Oh, you got a song?
I just asked Angela to put up.
Perfect.
The last minute.
We got a song. We're good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I have a song.
Does anybody need a run-through on how to open?
Maybe.
If you're like me, it's a struggle.
Good morning. John chapter 6, verse 52, or 54, sorry. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So I'm going to ask Angela to turn on a song that the Holy Spirit put on my heart while we come up and grab the implements and elements, and then we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you humbly. We ask you to examine our hearts today, Lord. Show us anything that's not pleasing to you. Reveal any pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion, any unforgiveness in our hearts. So anything that might be hindering our relationship with you, Lord. We know that we are your beloved children, God. The price you paid cover us for all time, and our desire is to live for you. So as we take this bread representing your life that was broken for us, we remember and celebrate your faithfulness to us and to all who receive you. I can't begin to fathom the agonizing pain that you endured during crucifixion, Lord. But you took that pain for each of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your unmerited favor. Thank you that your death gave us life. So we take this in remembrance of you, Lord. Let us partake. And in the same way as we take the cup representing your blood poured out for us on a splintered cross, we realize that you were the supreme sacrifice for all of our sin. And because your blood was shed for us and your body was broken for us, we can be free from the power and penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death, Lord. You took the death that each of us deserved. You took the death that I deserved. You took our punishment. Your pain was our gain. And today we remember and celebrate the precious gift of life that you gave to us through the blood that you spilled in Jesus' name. Let's partake. Well, let me just conclude with the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Amen. Bless you.